God doesn't want more religious routines. He wants a heart so changed that actions, words, and civic engagement reflect His justice, love, and public witness each and every day. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Check us out at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. If you haven't subscribed, liked, shared, or commented, I want to encourage you to do that each and every day. We are trying to change our hearts so that we change the public square. Remember, the things in the public square, the policy, the laws, the culture, the lawlessness, all flow out of the heart. And so that's what we're working on. And so if you enjoy these devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender huddle. Also, if you're a financial partner with FPIW, thank you so much. Your generosity does help us keep this moving forward. We're in a series called Circumcision of the Heart. And we're going to talk about the value of circumcision. So our heart needs to be changed, doesn't it? I mean, have you noticed around you so much of our culture and the world around us is living out of an unrejuvenated heart? In other words, our heart is the old man, the old flesh. And we're going to read a scripture in Romans chapter 2, verse 25. Then we're going to go through some Old Testament scriptures. Then we're going to come back to Romans chapter 2. It says, "For indeed, circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision." Now, remember, Paul is a Jew. He is a born-again Jew. He was a Pharisee of all Pharisees. He was a very, very astute in the law of Jewish tradition. And yet he says that circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you're not practicing it, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Now, where did all this circumcision start? Well, it started in Genesis chapter 17. It says, "Now when Abram was 99 years old," I'm 51, I can't imagine being 99 and being circumcised, but here we go. "The Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, 'I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly.' And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying," now I want to point out that in Genesis chapter 12, I think it was some 20 plus years before this, we see that God made a covenant with Abraham, and God is renewing, rejuvenating that covenant. Now, Abraham had taken the matter into his own hands to try to conceive his own son out of his own ways. And we know that Sarah gave Abraham over to her handmaiden, and so he slept with her. It says, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. And I have made you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land that you are sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." You know, today, I think hostages were set free, or earlier today, hostages were set free out of Gaza. And I would encourage you to read Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 7 from the New King James Version. But they were set free. And we see that many are saying that Israel should not have a land. And yet we see here in Genesis chapter 17, he says, "I've given you all the land of Canaan, and it's an everlasting possession," period. I don't know about you, but you got to really redefine everlasting to make everlasting something else. He says, "God said further, 'Abraham, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generation. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised.'" So circumcision started out as a sign of being being in covenant with God. And he says it in verse 11, "And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you." So we see that Paul is writing. He says, hey, if you're not going to keep the law, if you're not going to do these things, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Your foreskin may have been removed, but you are still, even though you're physically circumcised, you're spiritually uncircumcised. And God is telling us here that this is a sign to us that this covenant is true. Now, in Deuteronomy, it says this. So this would have been Moses' time. Israel would have gone down to Egypt and been in slavery for 400 some years, which, by the way, God predicts in Genesis. And he says, "I, moreover, stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights like the first time. And the Lord listened to me that time also. The Lord was not willing to destroy you. Then the Lord said to me, 'Arise, proceed on your journey ahead of the people that they may go in and possess the land.'" What land? The same land that Abraham was talking about. The same land we're talking about today, some probably, what, 4,000 years from then. It says this, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord?" And this is so good for us as we go into the public square. Do we have a fear of God to walk in his ways? Are we walking in his ways to love him? Do we love God? And to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And to keep the Lord's commands. Remember, he's going to say, if you aren't keeping the law or the commandments of God, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. "I'm commanding you to behold, to the Lord your God belongs heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affections to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples, as it is written. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer." So some 4,000 years ago, between we had Abraham, in essence, we had Israel, the father Israel, and then we had Moses, and then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, or Jacob is Israel. And then we had Moses, in essence. And there was a lot of people in between. But he says, Abraham, you try to do it in your own way. Circumcise your foreskin so that you know that you have a sign of this covenant. Then to Moses, he says, I want you to circumcise your heart and to stop stiffening your neck. Isn't that interesting? All the Old Testament, it has been about the heart issue. It will always be about the heart issue. God loves the Jewish nation of Israel and has promised them land. God loves us today and has promised eternal life. And we need to know this very clearly, that God cares about this heart. Is your heart circumcised, or do you just have religious rituals that you are practicing in and out? For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow and shows the love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. He is your praise, and he is your God who has done these great and awesome things for which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. So Abraham was circumcised. Moses was circumcised. And God speaks to Moses very clearly that our circumcision should be of the heart. That's the most important thing. Now let's read Romans chapter 2, verse 17 with this in the forefront of our minds. "But if you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourselves are a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of truth, You therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourselves? Circumcised heart. You who preach one should not steal, do you steal? Circumcised heart. You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Circumcised heart. You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? Circumcised heart. You who boast in the law, through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? Circumcised heart. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. For indeed, circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So, what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that as you go into the public square today, I don't care about your religious rituals. I care about your heart being circumcised that then produces actions in you that will glorify Almighty God. Think about that for a moment. Those actions, those places that you can do to bring attention to His name. Heart over external rituals. God desires that you stiffen your neck no longer and that your heart be circumcised. All the actions of the flesh cut away. That behavior that honors and glorifies God will be your public testimony and witness to others today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray as we go into the public square today, God, that you will circumcise our hearts, cut away any flesh, any attitudes, any desires for glory. And God, allow us to glorify you, to bring attention to your holy name. God, change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.